Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Rolene Marks, a very good morning to you. How are you?
That's a very, very loaded question, Howard.
I know. You've had a very rough week.
It has been a rough week, and it continues with more rocket fire last night. Another dash to the shelters for me, and then continuing this morning with heavy bombardments on the south, on Ashkelon, on Ashdod. A lot of rockets being fired towards the Negev, areas like Rahat, which is Bedouin, mostly Bedouin communities over there. So make no mistake, when we say that Hamas is firing on Israel, they're not just firing on Jewish people, they're firing on everybody, on Christians, on Muslims, on Jews as well.
Yeah, and you've been incredibly active this week. I mean, you've been on various radio shows, television around the world. The one thing that I've noticed is a level of negativity and a level of manufactured denial that is very, very difficult to counter. What's been your experience?
You know, in the 20-some years that I've been working in this field, and I've worked through Operation Cast Lead, Protective Edge, Amud Anan, the Mavi Marmara, the Second Intifada, countless waves of terror and conflagrations, I have never seen the level of hatred and anti-Israel invective, the likes of which I have seen this week. It feels that anyone with maybe a latent bit of hatred or anti-Semitism is just allowing it to flare. And I think, you know, we also have to look at the role of social media. You know, when it was operations like Protective Edge, it was maybe some Twitter, maybe some Facebook, but I think Instagram has gotten to play a big part here. And, you know, I just want to reiterate something. Your Instagram likes and racking up your social justice credentials is not going to change the situation here. Just saying, any celebrity who is posting things on Instagram, I'm talking to you, Susan Sarandon. But in this background of social justice consciousness, people are not looking at the facts. They're not looking
but
at the
choosing
complexities
not to.
Of the situation.
That's what's bothering me, is I'm seeing really smart, intelligent, and I would go so far as to say good people, totally blinded when it comes to anything Israel related. It's almost, there's, because you have to have an incredible amount of cognitive dissonance in order to call Gaza an open air prison whilst 2,000 rockets are being fired from the area and buildings are being demolished that are Hamas headquarters. You have to be delusional to call Israel genocidal when the Hamas charter calls for the death of all Jews whilst they are firing on all Jews and proving that they're living. So how do you explain it?
I wish I had an answer. People would much rather, you know, take their information from a catchy meme than actually look at the situation on the ground and its complexities. We have had some statistics coming in that at least 17 people in the Gaza Strip have been killed as a result of rockets either misfiring or falling short. We know for sure that 5 children, and let me just reiterate, the majority of fatalities in the Gaza Strip have been the targeted elimination of Hamas terrorists. You know, we have managed to keep the civilian death toll as low as possible under the circumstances. There's a Palestinian NGO that monitors children and the well-being of children, and they released a very, very rare statement saying that at least 5 children have been killed, 3 from the misfiring of rockets, because as we know, these rockets are not fired from open spaces. They are deliberately fired from within the civilian population twofold. First of all, to complicate matters, when the IDF wants to take out a launching team. And second of all, because they know that if they have as many civilian casualties as possible, it wins the court of public opinion. So they're sacrificing their own civilians for the sake of killing ours as well. And at least two other children were killed when rockets fell short in the Gaza Strip. They are responsible for all casualties on both sides. They have killed an Arab-Israeli father and his daughter. The majority of our deaths, of our fatalities, have been elderly people. Another lady last night, 87 years old, who fell and hit her head running to the shelter. 5-year-old Ido Avigal, killed when his a rocket hit the strong room. It came through the window. The angle and the speed was so fast. His mother doesn't even know that she has lost her son. She is on a ventilator in hospital. I was also asked, but you know, we're in the middle of a pandemic. What about the vaccine program for Gazans? Well, those vaccines have been falling on our homes. You have to ask the question, how many vaccines, how many ventilators, how many schools could be built, how many hospitals could be built, how much safe haven could be built for the people of Gaza if it didn't go towards the funding of the now 2,000 plus counting rockets and mortars being fired on the people of Israel. And Hamas are boasting about it. They're boasting that they now have their Bajar rocket that can reach 250 kilometers. And I ask you, how can you draw a moral equivalency between that and a sovereign state with a legitimate army that wears a uniform and is there to defend the state of Israel? And while we're talking about the army, Howard, I just want to confirm Israeli forces have not gone in.
Yeah, that was a critical point because we're getting so many conflicting messages. What is the story?
The story is that a spokesperson from the IDF is reported to have said that we've gone in. And the IDF, just about an hour or so ago, they released a statement saying that we haven't gone in. I'm going to read the statement. It says the Israel Defense Forces clarifies that there are currently no IDF ground troops inside the Gaza Strip. An English language statement and comments from a spokesperson saying that there were ground forces in Gaza led to multiple foreign news organizations reporting that Israel had launched a ground offensive. Clarification, there are no IDF ground troops currently inside the Gaza Strip. IDF air and ground forces are carrying out strikes on targets in the Gaza Strip. So we do have a big presence of artillery corps on the border, and last night we saw the heaviest bombardment of both air and ground resources, and major, major damage done to the Hamas infrastructure there.
The situation in Gaza in terms of these buildings that are being demolished, I actually saw an incredible footage yesterday of somebody filming a building, I think it was the Hamas intelligence building being demolished, but somebody was standing right there, fully confident that that building was going to be demolished and that he could stand literally meters away from it, without realizing the message that he was being sent was how precise and careful the IDF is. But what is also clear to me is that Hamas has an incredible infrastructure, maybe more sophisticated than I had given them credit for.
Well, as you said, opening up, you know, this is the most highly sophisticated open-air prison I think that we have ever seen. And we have seen this week how incredibly pinpoint and how precise IDF strikes. I mean, you can only look at apartment buildings, and the IDF are able to take out a terrorist in one apartment while the rest of the building stands perfectly intact. You know, but we do rely on excellent intelligence on the ground there. We do have our very, very, very sophisticated weaponry and highly, highly trained individuals on our side, making sure that we can, you know, mitigate as much as possible. And also not being mentioned, but except from the IAF week is that some strikes were abandoned because of the close proximity of civilians.
Jenny's asking, last night we also saw a few rockets from Lebanon. Was that Hezbollah?
Well, we do have confirmed reports that three rockets were fired from southern Lebanon into Israel. They landed in the Galilee, in the Sea of Galilee. We don't have any confirmation who it was, that all the information that was released.
That is a tremendous concern, isn't it, though? Because once, if that front opens up, that changes things quite dramatically in Israel, doesn't it?
It does change things quite dramatic, and it's certainly a worry, but the IDF has been preparing for any eventuality that Iran, because we can't forget that whether it's Hamas in the south or it is Hezbollah in the north, that there will be an attempt to open up a war on two fronts. So we have trained. Ironically, the IDF was supposed to start the biggest drill in history this month, which was a nationwide drill. They have been training, they have been preparing for any eventuality that could see us fighting a war on two fronts.
Can we just talk about another front, which is the internal goings on, the rioting, the potential lynching of people within Israel? What is going on? This seems to have shocked people more than anything else.
Well, for me, this is the bigger worry, because we have a well-trained army, a sophisticated army that knows how to deal with what we're dealing with on our border. But the real worry is internally, and I am of the opinion that you have elements within Hamas, within Fatah as well, who are riling the streets, riling the mobs. We have had terrible incidents in Lod last night, three synagogues set on fire. An IDF soldier was lynched. He is in hospital at the moment, undergoing surgery. His situation is in serious condition. We had another Jewish man shot. Thank God he is okay. A policeman was shot, wounded lightly. In exchange, we've had Jewish extremists also beating up Arabs. The head of the police actually blamed Ben Gavir. He's the leader of the far right political party. He has blamed him for egging on Jewish extremists. And I think those elements within the extreme in the Arab community know that by acting like this, you're going to give a tailwind to Jewish extremists to retaliate. We have had an appeal for calm from our president. Also, Benny Gantz, our defense minister, has called up battalions of border police to assist the police, not to go on any kind of military offensive, but to assist police in trying to maintain order. We had the terrible flouting of international law last night when a Magen David Adom ambulance in Al-Faham going into to treat the wounded was pelted with rocks and bats. All ambulances are protected by international law and the International Geneva Convention. It should be able to enter a place of tension or conflict safely. This wasn't the case for our MDA medics last night. But this is the worry. This is an extreme, extreme worry.
It is indeed. Unfortunately, we have to leave it there. Arlene Marks, thank you as always. Have a Shabbat Shalom, a Chag Sameach, and may you be safe and may peace instead of rockets rain down upon everybody.